This is the just the third week we've been in Psalm 23. We hadn't repeated ourselves, have we?
All right.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us. Help us to preach. Help us to be coherent. I pray, oh God, the message would be a blessing and a help, an encouragement to the hearer. Lord, may it exalt thee. Lift up thy name, exalt the name of Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. We're a needy people. We live in a dry and thirsty land. Give us a drink, heavenly water this morning. Lord, we pray for our preacher friends across the country. Lord, they've prayed and studied. They stand in the pulpit this morning. Represent thee. I pray, anoint them, fill them, empower them, and use them to bring glory to thy name and comfort and help, strength, encouragement to the hearts of thy people. We ask you, O God, for the missionaries, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, pastors, and preachers around the world, every denomination, that man or woman preaches the truth of the salvation of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. I ask you to use that this morning to sweep scores of people into the kingdom of God. We sure would thank you and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 23, this is our third message on that psalm. And I've got five done, so there's two more to do for sure, and I'm looking at a sixth one. We're going to make a little album and put it out. But this morning I want to call your attention in particular to verse 4, where it said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I'll bring you a little message this morning entitled, "Even the Valley is Higher Ground." Now, the Bible said in Psalm 40 in verse 2, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." The inspiration for today's message actually came from two Southern Gospel songs put out by two different Southern Gospel groups. The title, "Even the Valley is Higher Ground," was actually a song put out by the McCameys some years ago. And then a group called Point Voices had a song called "Gonna Walk Right Out of This Valley." Neither one of those songs has any substance in this message other than the title and the thought. I'm gonna walk out of this valley. Amen. I'm gonna walk out of this valley. And even the valley is higher ground, and I hope to demonstrate that at the conclusion of the message. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about valleys and mountains. Christians use those little metaphors all the time to convey a thought. And we do it like this. They say, "Boy, I've been on the mountaintop. Boy, we had a meeting, and it got out of the banks, and everybody was on the mountain." They're talking about having a good time in the Lord. The Lord's been blessing, and they're just all excited and
thrilled to death with the Lord and what's going on in their life, what's going on in their church. And so they say they've been on the mountaintop. And then sometimes you'll hear Christians say, boy, here lately, I'm going to tell you, I've been in the valley a lot lately. I heard Peg McCamey say that some years ago. They were having some problems in their life. And she said, boy, I've been in the valley a lot lately. I thought, boy, I can understand that. I know what it means. I know what she's talking about. But I don't agree with the usage. You ever think about this? Up on the mountain, the only thing you've got on a mountaintop is a view. That's all you got up there. It's all rocks and barren. You get up above the tree line. You can't plant a crop. There ain't nothing. The ground's so rocky you can't use it for nothing. Now, you do have a view. And it's inspiring. And you can bask in the sunlight on the mountaintop. But other than that, that's pretty much all mountaintops are good for. The truth is, the valley is the place to be. In the valley, you have everything necessary, everything essential for life is actually found in the valley. And so while we use it as a place of sadness or sorrow or despair or down, I don't quite get. Now, I understand what people are doing, and I don't have a problem with it, and I do it too, you know. I say, well, I've been in the valley, and we've just learned to do that. But when you analyze it, there's not much reason to say it that way, because the valley is actually, it's a pretty good place. Amen. It's a whole lot better than being in some places that we're going to talk about. And so the valley is it's the place where the riverbeds are. You don't have any water up on the mountaintop. There ain't no rivers up there. All you got is a view and hopefully some sunlight. That's all you get. Now, that's good. There's some good things about it, but it's pretty limited, is my point. But in the valley, that refreshing water you need, that life-giving water you've got to have, is in the valley. I mean, if you're looking for a river or a stream, you may find rainwater and all running down the side of the mountain through a little creek or a tributary and going into a bigger creek, and finally it gets down to the river in the valley, but the river's in the valley. Amen. The valley's the place where the richest ground is found. You can't plant a crop on the mountainside. There's just no topsoil. It's all been washed away. You know where it's at? It's in the valley. My front yard, we live on the right at the crest of a hill, and our house is some feet below the crest. And up in the front yard, I don't care where you dig, I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get rock. Amen? Now, we got just enough topsoil up there to support grass. But if you stick a shovel in it, you're going to hit something. But now I can go to the back of our property, and I've got 18 inches of good, deep, rich soil. No rocks, no nothing. If I wanted to plant a garden, I'd go back there in that backyard, and the topsoil is this deep. You know where it came from? On top of the hill. It all washed down. And up on the mountaintop, it's just rocks and trees. There's just enough dirt to keep a tree alive. If you want to plant some maters and some cabbage and cucumbers, you need to go down in the valley. Amen? Then the valley is the place where the trees are. Trees are for shade and rest and comfort and building. Trees are an absolute essential. You get out there. Yesterday, I played golf with the boys yesterday, my grandsons. It was Father's Day weekend getaway for me and the boys, and we went out and played golf, and it was 87 degrees or something. But it felt like it was about 115 out there. I come home, just wore slam out. I'm too old for that. Now, I never told them boys that. Amen. I struggled, buddy. I drug myself around. and I acted as chipper as they did. And I got home and I fell on my face in the floor. I ain't gonna let them squirts know. They think, boy, Pa's a tough old bird. I thought, man, if we had one hole to go, I'd have quit. Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'd give anything yesterday for a nice shade tree to stand under. Amen. It had to be 10 degrees cooler under that shade tree than it was standing out there in the middle of that fairway. So down in the valley is where the trees are. You can cut a tree down and build a house. Amen. You can stand under a tree and get shade. You can lay down and rest underneath a shade tree. If you can find one where the fire ants aren't, then, you get a nice little nap. Amen. And then the valley is the place where the level ground's at. And the level ground is important because it's the surest footing for a pilgrim. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever been up in the mountains of North Carolina, and they raise a lot of cattle up there. And have you ever noticed that some cows go this way and some cows go that way, and they've been raised on that mountainside? And if you take one of them cows down and put him on level ground, he stands like this. The ones that go this way, the right legs are a couple of inches shorter than the left. And if they go that way, the left legs are a couple of inches shorter than the right. And they've learned to do that so they could stand straight. My daddy told me that, so I know it's true. Seriously, if you want to build anything, you need some level ground. If you want to plant a crop, you need a field that you can plow. So where's that at? It's in the valley. The topsoil's down there, and the level terrain where you can build and work and plant is in the valley. Almost everything we want or need, when you look at it, is in the valley. So it's kind of ironic that we use it as a place of sadness and sorrow, except, and we'll get to this, I hope, that in the valley is where you live, and that's where your sorrow takes place. But the valley itself is not a bad place. The valley is where everything that you need has been supplied by your Creator. You get down in that valley, the valley is the place where you plant crops. Amen? We go up in the mountains reasonably often and look around, and you'll see, you have these views. I love Western North Carolina. Some of the prettiest country on this planet is in Western North Carolina. I love them long rolling hills where it's open and pretty, but in the distance you can always see those majestic peaks with the trees and all on them. It's just gorgeous country. Amen. And you get up there riding around, and they raise a lot of cattle, beautiful cattle country. But when you get over where they're doing the farming, man, they got them big old fields of corn and cotton and backer, and well, they're not much backer anymore, but they plant all them crops, and they grow down there because you got level ground, you got water, and you got topsoil, and you got sunshine. Everything you need to plant a crop and get it to produce and grow and increase is in the valley. The valley is the place where the pilgrim wants to go if you want to be successful in your labors, if you want to plant and grow. The valley's the place to be. Amen? Boy, God puts us in them valleys sometimes. You ought to have a Christian valley where you grow for God, where you get planted. The church here ought to be your valley. This ought to be where you're putting down roots and growing a crop and doing something for God. Now, you got to admit that the mountains are majestic. Of course, they're also often cold, windswept, and rocky and barren. And the only thing you got up there is a view and a little sunshine. You know, you grow weary of looking at the same view after a little while. Amen. Now, from time to time, it is refreshing and inspiring. But it's not something you want to do 24-7. You wouldn't want to just live there and look at the same majestic view day after day after day. It would get to where it wasn't so inspiring. It would still be beautiful, but it wouldn't kindle that emotion that it does when you see it from time to time. They say familiarity breeds contempt. And the idea is that if you see something or encounter something or do something often enough, it kind of loses its sharpness. It loses its edge. Not that you don't like it anymore. Not that it's not beautiful anymore. It is. But it just doesn't ignite that fire. My wife keeps saying, boy, I wish we'd have bought land in the mountains 30 years ago. I wish we'd have been smarter and bought land in the mountains. And I keep thinking, you know, if I lived up here, I'd be just like these people that live up here. I'd be used to it. I'd like it, but I could go for days and not even notice it. Now, I go up there once a week or every 2 or 3 weeks, and when I see it, I say, boy, isn't that gorgeous? Look at that. Look at that sunset. Look at those mountains. Amen? So the mountains are majestic and beautiful, but you got to remember they're cold, they're windswept, they're rocky, and they're barren. And all you have up there is a view and sunshine. Now, you notice people don't live in deserts much either. I mean, you got a few hard shell guys that'll try and be real mountain man, you know, they don't live up in a mountain. Yeah, and they have to scratch out a living too. And then you got nomads that camel jockeys that live in the desert, but it's not for most people. Say, why? Well, no place to plant a crop, no shade to get out of the heat, not much water to produce or refresh. Deserts are wide and desolate, blistering hot and barren. Not much grows, not much gets produced in a desert. There's 2 or 3 animals that live out there, some Gila monsters and scorpions and rattlesnakes. Some people. Valleys. That's where it's at. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, whether a valley is large or small, valleys are the place where we find our refreshing. We don't dwell on a mountaintop, nor in the desert. We live and dwell and prosper in the valley. So it's just kind of ironic that we're always saying, oh, man, I've been in the valley. You know, I've been down here lately, preacher. I just really been. I understand what you're saying because bad things happen in the valley. But, boy, the valley's a place of blessing. Thank God for the valleys. Amen. Now, let me just make mention of this in passing, that God lets us cross the hot burning desert sometimes that we might appreciate the blessing of the valley. Boy, you say, man, I've been in a dry place lately. God hadn't been speaking to me much. My Christianity's just been kind of bland and blah, and I don't have the excitement that I used to. It's like I've been in a desert, you know, there's nothing happening. It's just barren. No life, no enthusiasm. We all go through those. Amen. But remember, God got Israel through the desert. And he'll get you through the desert too. If you don't throw in a towel, if you don't lay down and quit, if you'll keep on marching, God will make sure that you get through the valley. He'll send a camel named Grace sometimes. I read somewhere that a camel can smell water as much as 50 miles away. 50 miles. So, if you're in the desert, find a camel. Amen. And follow that rascal. You say, well, I was going this way and he went that way. Follow. And God will get you through that desert. The desert doesn't have to destroy you. Then, God lets us go to the mountaintop sometimes
not to live there, not to dwell there, but God sends us or allows us to make it to the mountaintop that we might be filled with the wonder of God for inspiration to keep us on moving on. Sometimes God just lets you get up on the mountaintop so you can take a look and see how awesome God is. Some years ago, we went up to, I've forgotten the name of that place, that Beach Mountain. We went to Beach Mountain and got a little chalet up there, and it had a little fireplace. I couldn't breathe because of the wood smoke, but it was lovely. It was a sweet little place. But the next morning when we got up, they had breakfast, and so we went in and got a cup of coffee, and they had great big fresh-made blueberry muffins. And the wife and I went out on the little veranda there, had a little rail around it outside, and we're sitting there, and the fog and all that's all over the place. You can't see anything. But we're just sitting there eating our muffin, drinking our coffee, and shooting the breeze. And the sun is up above us, and it is pretty rapidly burning away the fog. And in a few minutes, boy, we could see blue sky as far as you could see, and all the clouds were actually below us. And we sat there a few minutes and got our second blueberry muffin, about that big, and sitting out there, and the fog kept burning away, and pretty soon you could see down. Down and down, and we had forgotten that we were up on the side of a mountain, and it was about 3,000 or 4,000 feet to the ground. And this little patio we're sitting on is built out over the edge of the mountain. And when the fog burned away, all we could see was the valley a couple of thousand feet down below. It was an incredible sight. And the sun was shining on it, and there was like a little rainbow, and down here everything was glistening and bright and clean with the wetness of the fog. It was just a great place to be, a great view, and good blueberry muffins. It was awe-inspiring, and we sat there for a few minutes and talked about how beautiful it was and what a great job God had done in his creation. And this is after the fall and all that's gone on, and look how beautiful it still is. But I didn't want to live out there on that porch. And I was full of blueberry muffin. So we left, and we headed for the valley. So sometimes you go through deserts in your life, in your spiritual life. You're not as on fire, you're not as keen, you're not as caught up as you once were or as you want to be. But if you hang in there, it passes. Amen. Sometimes you're on the mountaintop and you're just excited about the things of God and what God's doing in your life and how God's blessed you and delivered you from this or that or the other thing or answered a prayer. Can't live on a mountain either. And so pretty soon, you have to go to the valley. And you're going to walk through the valley. Now, there is a downside to the valley. Example, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 10, the Bible said, the valley of Siddim was full of slime pits. Down in the valley, there was some slime pits. And buddy, if you've lived in this old world, down in the valley of the shadow of death down here, you've seen some of the slime pits. Amen? I don't know about you, but I used to hang out in some of the slime pits. They're all over the place. We're living in a little bitty town in rural York, South Carolina, but we got our slime pits all over the place. We're coming down the road the other day, and I see a sign out there that says, The Holler. That's just an old hellhole, honky-tonk, sorry drunken men and sorry whorish old women living like hell. It's just a place of slime and filth. Of course, now, we don't do honky-tonks like we used to. That place is typical of what
beer joints used to be. But now we hang out a sign that says tavern and bar, or tavern and restaurant, you know. But so we want to make it legit by serving a hamburger with the mixed drinks. It's still a hellhole. They're still serving liquor. They're still getting folks drunk. And the same sin that went on in the honky-tonk goes on in the high-class place. Amen. The only difference between the sins of the rich and the sins of the dirt poor is the surroundings and the accommodations in which they commit them. But it's the same old sin. Amen. Men and women go to fancy bars where you pay $10 a drink to commit the same sins that the redneck goes to and buys a beer for a buck and a half. Amen. And then they want to pretend they're the upper crust. Well, you're a sinner just like the rest of them. In Joshua chapter 15, verse 8, it says, the valley of giants. You know, if you live long enough, you're going to have to contend with giants in the valley. You live in the valley, and there are giants in the valley. And sooner or later, you're going to have to fight things that are bigger than you. Things you don't think you can handle. Things you don't think you can conquer. Things you don't think you can overcome. Of course, God's always got a giant slayer. Amen. We don't have to be overcome. Goliath does not have to win. If we stand our ground and trust the Lord gives the victory. Amen. So, we may have to be in the valley, and in that valley there may be slime pits, and in that valley there may be giants, but you don't have to be overcome by either one. And then in Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible talks about the valley of decision. You ever had to make a tough decision? Now, the toughest decision was that decision to receive Jesus Christ or not. That's got to be the hardest thing anybody ever does, for it to be the simplest thing in the world. Is that not ironic? If you would just bow your head and give your heart to Jesus Christ and confess unto Him and on Him, God would give you salvation full and free. But the hardest thing you ever do is make that step. And then once you make it, you wonder, in heaven's name, whatever took me so long, why didn't I see this before? It's amazing how that thing works. But I've seen big old men sweat and tears run down their face and their hands shake and tremble trying to make that decision to receive Christ. But there are a lot of decisions you and I have to make in the valley. And sometimes we don't know exactly what's the best way or what's the best option. You know, it's easy when there are no options. Amen. Now, when I was learning to fly, they used to tell me, always fly single-engine airplanes. Don't ever fly multi-engine aircraft. And I said, why not? He said, well, because if you fly single-engine aircraft and the engine quits, all your decisions are made for you. He said, if you've got a multi-engine aircraft and one engine quits, you've got to decide. That makes pretty good sense. Amen. Well, some of them decisions are tough. We don't always make them right, but it always comes to a point you have to make it one way or another. Boy, I tell you what, if you spend some time in prayer and seeking God's face, you have a whole lot better chance down in the valley on your knees praying and seeking God than you do anywhere else in the world. Amen. But then it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I said that the valley is higher ground. And I read you that verse in Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit. You and I were in a pit full of mud and mire. It's called sin. It was taking us to the valley of death, to the valley of destruction. We were in that pit, and you and I could not get ourselves up out of it. It said, but He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Where did he put me? He put me in the valley. But he had to bring me up from where I was at to get me in the valley. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved by God's grace and God has brought you up from that horrible pit of sin and death and destruction, the valley is higher ground than where you came from. Amen. I know where I was at when I was 27 years old. I was in that horrible pit. I was headed to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel. God Almighty reached down in that pit and picked this old boy up and took me out of the mud and the miry clay and set my feet upon solid rock and established my going. And now for well over 40 years, I've been walking the straight and narrow because he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The valley is higher ground. And if you're saved, God pulled you up out of that pit and established your goings and put you upon a solid rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. The Bible said our rock is not as their rock. Amen. So where are you at today, preacher? I'm walking on high ground. Walking in high cotton. High on a hog, low on a chicken. Say, why? He took me up out of the pit and put me in the valley. No matter what happens to me in the valley, no matter what happens in the valley, is higher ground than where I was at before he brought me up. I have no place to complain. I have nothing to whine about. God has been more than good, more than generous, more than gracious. He picked me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon the solid rock. I like the valley. It's so much better than the pit. You know, up here in the valley, you can see the bright sunshine. You can see the corn growing. You can prosper. You can build. You can serve. Down in the pit, it was just gloom and despair and despondency. It was just waiting for the gates of death to swing wide and suck me down to the lowest hell. And I couldn't get out. And God reached down in that deep pit, picked me up, and set me up on a solid rock. I got no complaints. Say, well, preacher, what if this happens to you? I got no complaints. What if this happens to your children? I got no complaints. I'm in the valley. I'm not in the pit. Well, I wish we could get that to sink in. I'm not in the pit. You understand? I'm not in the pit. I'm in the valley. I've had to change the location. I've had to change the destination. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm in the valley, not in the pit. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord God, we thank you that we're in the valley. It may be the valley of the shadow of death, but it's not death. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over us and keep us safe. Protect us. Help us to realize that we're going to march right out of this valley. We're going to march right out of this valley. It's only a shadow. It's not the pit of despair and destruction. It's the valley of the shadow. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.